lower to middle range claiming a normal turn time that you can expect is 23.1. A lot of the races are run in 23.1. The better claiming types, maiden, that kind of a race, is generally 23. The higher class races, you can use 24. Now that varies a length or so, but I'm trying to give you a ballpark here.
What?
I'm sorry, 22 and 4.
Yeah.
Thank you. Very good. All right. I just got this mouth recently. I'm trying it out. Okay, 22 and 4. Now let's take a look at this particular race. This race runs 21.1, which is flying. The track was fast that day, but it's still moving. 21.1, 44 flat. Now within this, the pace setter is 8 below 0, so he runs 21.1, then he runs 22.4. The second fraction. Everybody can see that. The difference between 44 and 21.1 is 22.4. Lucky so-and-so is running third at the quarter, 3.5 back, right? When they hit the half with a quarter of a mile to come home, he's now third, 1.5 back. What did he just do through that second quarter? I gained two. All right, now, first of all, the pace is hot. 21.1, 44 flat. This guy goes from 3.5 behind to 1.5 behind all around the turn. And visualize that, please. As the horse, there's three horses, right? 80 below zero in front, 3G second, lucky so-and-so here. Lucky so-and-so's back in here somewhere with a horse between them. And then around the turn, here comes one guy to actually get up and lap one of the other two. That's lucky so-and-so. He runs around a turn after running well in the first quarter, because if they don't run in the first quarter, the turn time is kind of unimportant. But he ran well in the first quarter and then goes 22.2 around the turn. And the 22.4 is a mark of a pretty darn good horse out here. So he goes 22.2 in a hot pace. It's a very strong performance. You don't need variance or anything else for that. You can observe this by just reading the chart and understanding what constitutes a good turn time. That's a really sharp horse. Now there's another horse to show you the opposite side of that. It's another horse that runs around here called Lucky Masada. This is going to be, some of this material is going to be, you're going to pay twice for this if you buy my book. He normally runs this kind of a race, 21.4, 22, somewhere in that ballpark. And then he runs 23 or 22.4, one of the other combinations. So he usually hits a half at about 44.4. If he goes 22, he usually goes 22.4. If he goes 21.4, he usually goes 23 because he's tired a little bit more. That's the horse when he's in form. Now lately, he's been bet 3-1 probably, 4-1, and then about 6 or 7-1. So he's going up. But his first performance in this declining form cycle was to do something like this. Then in his next performance, it was something like this. In other words, he's still getting to the corner, and now he can't handle a turn anymore. And if you really want to see improving sharp horses versus declining horses, before you get too tempted to bet them, is when they begin to fall off in this acceleration on the turn. That is the sign of the condition that the horse is in. And if he can no longer get around that turn, he's just not, when he's not handling it well, he's out of condition. And this horse, until all of a sudden he repeats this kind of a performance, you just stay away from these guys. And that is a very important factor, because when they decline here more often than here. Because even a sore horse is going to get here in somewhat the same ballpark. But it's when they really ask him, when the pressure becomes intense around the turn, that's when they begin to fall. That's why a lot of maidens can't step up into these winners. They'll go 22, 23, and all of a sudden they'll face horses going 21.3, 44.3, and now they're trying to do two things they can't do. That's go to the quarter and get around the turn. So turn time is very important, and you have the benchmark, 23.1, 23, 22.4. It applies about the same way at Hollywood Park. So you've got, you can use the same general benchmark over there. Any horse that cracks 23 significantly, you know, unless he ran 25 the first quarter, but a horse that ran pretty well the first quarter and then can crack the, those benchmark numbers is sharp. And you've always got to respect it.
And those you said were wrong.
Those are wrong numbers. You don't really have to adjust them to the variant. The nice thing about pace analysis, the variant has its biggest effect on the overall. But when you start to analyze the individual, I mean, granted, it has an effect when the track is really fast. No doubt. But it has less effect when you're analyzing these things than it does when you're saying 110.4, 110.3, and that kind of thing. Not to be a horse to watch. Not Lucky Nostradamus, Lucky Zorro. Told you it's new. Let's look at the ninth race, the one right below it. This race adjusts with the variant to 143.3, because the track was seven fast that day. But that's still a $40,000 parlay. That's a given. I'm not going to ask you to look these things up. I'm just trying to get some stuff up front. So that race is a 25, but it came in at about the $40,000 level. The gap now between Rakaposhi and Spin 2 Bucks is really significant. Now, I sent Rakaposhi out of my horses to watch list here, and it's broken my heart twice since then. It got beat in a three-horse photo, and then it got beat in a two-horse photo. But the three-horse photo, he stepped him up from 25 to 40. And he got beat a half and a half. Then he stepped him up from 40 to 50. And at 50, he got beat half a length by Ascension. Now, what we've done there is, Rakaposhi's not on our horses to watch list, but what we've done now is validate the call we made that it was a $40,000 field in terms of quality. Now, what does that do for a horse to watch out of here? Who would be a horse to watch? No, not Spin 2 Bucks. Magnum Plus. Magnum Plus at 32. Based on what Rakaposhi has done, would Magnum Plus be a solid play at 32? Would he be a solid play at 40?
Yeah.
I think so. And since Rakaposhi lost a photo at 50, maybe he'd be, it's all relative when you get out there. I mean, he'd have to make sure that he can beat the other horses. But at 32, certainly Magnum Plus would be a horse to watch. So add him to your list. Now, if I'd had the benefit of knowing what was going to happen to Rakaposhi after this, when I sent him out as a horse to watch, I would have also sent Magnum Plus out. I did not. But now we can add him. He hasn't been back since, so you don't have to worry about that. He still has not run, so he's a good one to add. Yes?
Considering the fact that this race is equivalent to a $40,000 claim rate based on the time,
The reason for that is that everyone at the racetrack can look now and see 142.1 that the horses ran at. With Rakaposhi, since he was beaten, could easily come back at 25. I didn't know they were going to move him out to 40 and 50 and things like that. So I'm looking at these two races and saying Magnum Plus is going to go up in class. And everybody at the racetrack can read that he ran 142.1. Why send out a 6-5 shot to everybody in town? On the other hand, Rakaposhi, who lost, could easily resurface at 25. Unless he was 20 here. I don't know what he was about. But anyway, he could resurface at 25. But he's the kind of horse, you'll get a price for him stepping up more so than you would for Magnum Plus.
Did you play Rakaposhi
the last year? I did. The reason I would add him now when I didn't add him before, based on what Rakaposhi's done, I could see them double jumping this horse up to 40. And if they do that, you won't get 65. Okay? And since Rakaposhi's already made that jump successfully and beyond, now this horse becomes a good one.
Sort of like a key race?
Kind of. We're going to get to key races in a minute. That's right. We're going to get to some key races here in just a second.
Is there any merit if a horse wins after the second race?
it's a real phenomenon you have to deal with.
So like magnum plus.
He may bounce. Okay.
So how would you judge that, Tom?
By how long the wait between races and what he looks like on the workout.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, if they give him, say they give him 3 weeks or 3.5 weeks after this race, and he's got some regular workouts in the meantime, I would kind of count on him not bouncing. They bring him back in 10 days off of this race after the layoff, I would probably play against him almost blindly. It's a close call. It depends on the price. Because if he comes back, say he comes back out of this race at 32, 10 days later, and he's 7-5. You've got the very real possibility of having him bounce, and you've got 7-5 to go against. So I would bet against him. Now, you might make the same statement about Blackjack Road. I don't think he will, because he grew off so easily. And they've been so careful with him because he's so talented that I think probably he won't bounce in this race. All right. The next race, and again illustrating the a couple of points here, one of them is the gap. The horse to watch in this race is not the winner, who may very well turn out to be a very nice horse. But the horse to watch here is Vocalize. These are very fast riding. It's about a little history on this horse. This horse was claimed out of maiden claiming races and has just gotten better every time she's run. And this was her best race lifetime. The fractions in this race are 22-44-3, and she's a length behind at the quarter and moves to the lead and gets slightly clear. Which means that if the race was run 22-3 around a turn, or mostly around a turn, it's run 22-44-3, that's 22-3, right? She gains a length. So, she runs 22-2 around the turn in this race, and she winds up 6 lengths clear of the third horse. And it will show her in her next start, beaten halfway. That's all you'll get in the racing form without the charge. You have no idea unless you know for yourself where. Unless one of these other horses, like Cobell, happens to be in the next race, you will not know that there's a 6-length gap between her and the next horse. And that's where you can make a lot of money out there, by observing these gaps, because no one can see that without chance. So add Vocalize to that list.
Yes. You know, when you talk about this, going through this process, you said the claiming races were the most reliable for establishing the bearings for the facts for the day. Is there any special range in claiming races for a certain price range?
Yeah, 12.5 to 32.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Now let's go. We're going to stop. We're going to go to page 9.
Would you make Vocalize a horse to watch?
Would I?
Give you a
no.
Okay, you did. Showing a concept.
I'm showing a concept. I would make the horse to watch me in this room right now. At the time when I went through this, I went right over this race on this up now. And in further inspection, I now add Vocalize.
Okay. Was this race above the bar?
Yeah, it is. And that's what I'm afraid of in here, is that she could be bad next time. But you have to be the judge of that. But I would say that in a straight maiden field, she's probably going to be 9-5. You know. All right, now let's jump to the ninth race. Page 9. Now we're going to talk for a moment about Key Race, and we're going to talk about what was probably the best bet of the week at Santa Anita this last week. I'm going to give you a horse to watch out of here. Unfortunately, the horse is in the San Felipe Stakes this afternoon. No, they really asked a lot. But let's look at this Folsom Chica Stakes. If you're working from that chart book that I was showing you earlier, or from your own charts, as you get the results each day or each week, I suggest to you that you go back, after you look at the winners of these races, go back to the previous race they were in, and just draw a circle around. In other words, when Irish won the other day, at Santa Anita down the hill, I would have gone back to this race and put a little circle around Irish. Just do that for me. Just circle Irish. So the other day when he won, I'd have gone back in my charts to right to this race, which was his previous race to the other day. I would have circled Irish because he won that. Mr. Bulge, who we've already talked about and won huge out of this race, I'd circle him. Moving like a winner. Lost a photo to Irish down the hill, but it was strictly a two-horse race. And I would kind of give him a half circle, if you will.
Somebody suggested that when horse was the grand second the other day.
Give him kind of a half circle. Now let's look at what you've got. And believe me when I say that this race is only a par race. But these circles are beginning to make it look like it was a very well-stacked race. Who would be a logical horse to watch out of this little deck? Mountain Ghost, wouldn't it? Mountain Ghost was up, running forwardly, ran well around the turn, and then when Tenacious Tom finally got into gear, which looks like El Corion from earlier, I mean, he just waited until everybody was dead and then came running. But Mountain Ghost was up there beating these other horses that have all come back to win or run very well. So Mountain Ghost would really be a strong horse to watch out of here based on the performance of the other horses. Now, unfortunately, he's in there against Music Mercedes today. He's probably the best horse on the West Coast. But that's a strong, that's what you're looking for, and I would use I would add Mountain Ghost to the horses to watch list. I just probably wouldn't play him today, but that's the same thing I said about Marshall Law, who paid $100. It's a very powerful way of playing the races, of adding to your play. And I did say that about Marshall Law. I mean, I admit it. When I looked at that race, and I said, try team, try. It's a great at stakes winner. I mean, his horse has been in this kind of situation. This is the one I like. Marshall Law's never even tried a great race. Therefore, I won't throw it out. I did say that I was in a seminar with Jim Quinn, and I said, I won't throw it out, but I probably don't think it'll win. So much for that. But I just put the horses to watch list. You know, that's a $7,400 exactly. Anyway, let me show you something about Irish here. We've got another illustration of turn time and what this horse actually looked like the other day. As a general group, you buy into this concept of turn time being very important out here?
Yes.
Trust me, if you don't do it, buy into it. It is very important. Now, let me show you the way Irish looked the other day. He's in a field, they're running down the hill at 6.5 furlongs, which is not a speed horse's or an early pace horse's racetrack under most conditions, and it's not a deep closer's racetrack. You've got to be, you can't come from last, and you don't want to be faint-hearted. So that's the kind of horse you're really looking for. Now let's look at Irish. Here was his running line from his previous race. Remember I said the kind of closer you want is one that can get into the race and begin to overcome the pace early on. Now let me show you his feet per second numbers in that race.